We made a video recently where we investigated bike theft, trying to see what happens after your bike is stolen. As part of that, I spoke to Brian Hans, a US-based cybersecurity expert and co-founder of Bike Index, a non-profit bike registry that aims to reunite stolen bikes with their rightful owners. Now, in his work of many, many years, Brian has seen it all, playing his part in recovering nearly $30 million worth of stolen bikes. Now, most of those thefts are the result of low-level, often drug-related crime, but occasionally bigger and darker cases emerge. The biggest and darkest of them took Brian nearly 4 years to unpick.
For the 4 years that we watched him, because he would post the price and we'd put that into Google Sheets, $2.1 million. Meanwhile, you have these services over here getting absolutely rich. Look how bad this guy is. Just do your job and get rid of this guy.
This is the story of how, but also why, even after federal investigations, the pipeline still flows.
So we got this message in 2020 that was like, hey, I'm a cyclist in Mexico. I'm looking at your bike with this guy in Jalisco, Mexico, which is like 2,000 miles away from where you are. Not only does he have yours, but he has a whole bunch of other ones, and this guy only sells stolens. Leave my name out of it. I don't want any more part in this, but like, you might want to have a look at this. And to me, it was super interesting because A, it was kind of hard to find the guy's page. He was doing all this stuff to sort of keep Americans from seeing his page. Facebook actually lets you set like a geographic filter where you can say like, I only want people in this country to see my content. People in America or Venezuela, like those people don't. So he had locked it to Mexico. So we got a VPN in and started looking around, and it was like match. Like normally we'll see these guys online. They maybe have 2, 3, 4 bikes, but this guy was like, we got to 20, and I was like, okay, this is a bigger deal. And the really interesting part of it was the distance, and that like it was such a small, like you draw 100 miles around San Francisco. It was all these different places, but they all wound up with this one guy. For a while we were like, well, is like he robbing people? Or we had to kind of piece it together. And first of all, it was difficult just to capture everything this guy had because he'd been operating for years. So it was like, we scraped his Facebook page, and then we got into his Instagram, and we sort of made this giant, we were like, let's just collect as much as we can now so we can look at it and analyze it. And then we started talking to these victims, and we were getting things like CCTV surveillance, and we would see different robbers, but all the bikes wound up with this guy. So we sort of formed an idea like, okay, well, maybe he's like, there's a pipeline here, and like he's at the tail end of this pipeline, but all these robberies and stuff that are happening over here, we're not quite sure what happens in the middle yet. And the other crazy thing was the speed with which, like, we talked to people that got robbed on Monday, and on Tuesday morning that bike was already listed for sale in Mexico. Which, you know, at first we thought like, that's impossible. Like this guy can't, and it sort of became apparent like, oh, what's happening is the bikes are still in America, because you can kind of, there's some things in the pictures and the backgrounds that really, really make it look, we think, we're pretty sure this is in California, but like 2 weeks later, the same bike would be posted again, but it was in a brand new setting and it was at this dude's house in Mexico. So we started putting together like, okay, so how's that work? Like you get robbed on Monday and less than 12 hours later, your bike is already listed for sale in Mexico. And what eventually, the picture that eventually came out was he had a guy in San Jose, which is not super far from San Francisco, that was buying from robbers, buying from thieves. But he's a black market dude who would, all these different burglary guys knew, if you have a bike, go to this guy. He's paying well and he'll take it off your hands. and we kind of knew that was going on, but we didn't have the big picture until one day the Mexican guy screwed up and he posted a picture, and that picture included a name at the top. And he had a Facebook follower of that same name. And once we started looking at this Facebook follower, he owns this shop, and like a lot of the imagery on this guy's page sort of matched what we thought we were seeing, like same wall, same color, same floor, same, like, even though we didn't get the exact same spot, we're like, we're pretty sure this is the guy. And we waited until that guy also screwed up, And normally he would take pictures against this completely sort of blank industrial wall, no details, no nothing, no accidental shots of the street, no. And then one day he took a picture in a completely different place, and it sort of showed the interior. It showed these shelving, and it showed this stuff where it was like, oh no, now we're 100% sure it's this guy. And we had been talking. I mean, I probably talked to 50 cops over the course of 2 years, and most of them blew us off and were like, look, we're not Interpol, dude. We're, you know, like I work in San Francisco. What it's interesting, but I can't help you. This is not my jurisdiction. But we eventually found one guy who his interest was because he was working in the burglary wing. He had all these robberies. When people got robbed, he was looking at that data, and we sort of had the tail end of it. And when we sort of showed up and said, look, I think we found the middleman, he, unbeknownst to me, actually dug into it super hard and did all this amazing work and actually like served a search warrant on the guy. And he was like, oh yeah, this is the guy. Like, not only is this the guy, but we got like $200,000 cash, and he had bikes stacked up. It caught him red-handed. I don't know if it was because of the money or because it was a cross-border thing. He gave that to the FBI, which is sort of like, you have this local police force and you have our like federal stuff up here, and like the little local cop just went, here you go, or like I don't know what the reason was, but it became a federal case, which over here is a really big deal. It's way worse to get charged by the federal government than it is just like a little city local government. We were continuing to watch this guy's operation, and we were like happy that, you know, we got one of the bad guys. But the crazy thing is, the Mexican guy never stopped. He found another guy in a different city and did the same thing. Yeah. And then he found another guy in a different city. So we were seeing, all of a sudden, bikes went from like Bay Area, San Francisco, and suddenly it was San Jose. And then it was the state of Oregon where I live, which is nuts. And then like, there was a point that I was actually seeing bikes from my hometown with shop stickers from bike shops that I've been to, that I know dudes that work at, that this dude in Mexico, you know. So I'm seeing a bike that was like a mile that way at a shop that I go to get worked up, like my bike's worked on. I'm looking at a picture of that bike in Jalisco, Mexico. Now I'm super pissed off. Now I'm really angry over this guy. To make a long story short, what sucks is like, yeah, the guy in San Jose is probably going to go to jail, or like something very bad is going to happen to this guy. But because the Mexican guy is in Mexico, there's nothing they can do. They unless he wants to drive up to America and get caught, they can't really touch him.
He must be loaded as well now.
Yeah, for the 4 years that we watched him, because he would post the price and we put that into Google Sheets, $2.1 million is what we saw him. We don't know, like, it's not 100% profit, because clearly he had to like pay for trucks and he had some overhead, but we don't know. But in the like 4 years that we watched him sell $2 million.
That is wild, isn't it?
Yeah, which is crazy.
The issue here is not with law enforcement. It's with the services who provide a platform for criminals to sell stolen goods in public. To Brian's mind, we're talking about household names here, some of the online giants.
Even after the Wired article, even after a bunch of other articles, even after I've given talks, even after this federal indictment, even like billions and billions, all we wanted was for somebody at Facebook to do their job, kick this guy off their platform and fuck his market up. We didn't want him to be able to make money so easily. And, you know, we talked to Facebook forever as well, and they wouldn't do anything. They were completely useless. Their responses were just so weird, because it's like, you know, we have invented Frankenstein's monster. We can't control it. Like, I would love to say that I can just hit a button and get rid of this guy. I can't. I reported it to our security team, and I said, well, what happens next? So they say, well, I don't know, I can't tell you. And I'm like, well, what the f*** does that mean? Like, we would just get these responses from these people, and that it all basically boiled down to, yeah, I'm a senior VP of product or security or safety or whatever. I literally don't have the power or ability to do the thing that you're telling me, even though I personally acknowledge, holy f***, this guy is super bad. He should not be on our platform. We should get rid of this guy. And it was a real eye opener. That was basically like, we have created the monster. We cannot control the monster. thank you for your report. Like, thanks for using Facebook. And that, like, that was pretty depressing as well. We talked to another guy who we had amassed like all this evidence and screenshots and court cases and pictures. And we had this sort of private page that we would send to people saying, look how bad this guy is. Here's the evidence. Here's the proof. Just do your job and get rid of this guy. I talked to this one engineer who was like, well, you know, this is a real problem, not only with bikes, but with other things on our platform. Like, we're hoping to solve it with artificial intelligence. And I'm like, well, we're giving you actual intelligence, like actual analyzed data with proof. And like, so I don't know what that means. I don't know why we're having this conversation. If you're going to turn a blind eye to like 34 gigs of actual intelligence and blow smoke up my ass and say you're going to solve this with AI, like you're a liar and you're boring. You know, we can't continue this conversation. Like all these services, it's on them. They have, you know, Facebook makes more money than Brazil every year. Like, and for them to say, well, we don't have the resources to police our, it's bull. Like, of course they have the resources to police their platforms. And services like OfferUp, Gumtree, Craigslist, like they all sort of turn a blind eye to this. Like, yeah, you have a button where you can click report, but there's really nobody that reads those. And there's nothing that prevents that bad guy from coming back the next day and just doing the same exact damn thing. All these services sort of say, well, we're just a big post-it board. We're legally, all we are, we connect buyer and seller. We don't get involved with all that other stuff. Like, we're innocent. My big thought is, like, not everything has to be a law enforcement problem. They don't have enough people to deal with it. Meanwhile, you have these services over here getting absolutely rich over these sales that they're hooking up. And they're like, oh, we couldn't possibly ever take a look at the bad guy. Like, the fault sits squarely with the services. Crimes that those guys are concentrating on are so bad and so much bigger. This sort of thing is so low that they just don't. They're like, this is our 10,000th priority. You know, we just seized like an entire truck full of crystal meth last. Like, that's what we're focusing on. It's kind of hard to get down to the bikes level. but we hoped just from a term of sheer numbers, by having, you know, every single day of every single week of every single month, having victims show up and say, Over here. Look how bad they are. That at some point they would sort of wake up and realize like the scope of the problem. But to this date, like nobody's done anything. If you're a big corporation and you have lawyers and you can lobby and you represent a big brand and they'll listen to you. If you're guys like you and me, nobody cares. that's the truth of it.
How do you feel then, having been like working in this area? It's like your passion project, right? Bike Index seems like a fantastic like resource for cyclists.
Yeah.
You, after all this time, feel like empowered to keep doing what you're doing, or do you feel a little bit like?
I actually got super burned out and basically quit working for Bike Index. there was some other stuff going on at the time unrelated to this Mexican thing that, I mean, I've been at this for like 24 years and I've made zero money. And meanwhile, I've watched this bad guy make millions of dollars and nobody seems to want to touch him. I have a day job. I have like a whole other job that I have to do. This is like a nights and weekends thing. And I just got super burned out. So once this thing was done, I basically walked away from Bike Index, and I still pop in from time to time for friends and do some high priority things, but I do not feel empowered. I feel super depressed and annoyed.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think the whole story is absolutely wild. Like Brian, I feel slightly depressed at the state of things, not again from law enforcement, but from the inaction of some companies that perhaps you'd think should be a little bit more engaged in issues like this. But I suppose what I also am taking from this, something really positive, is that there are people like Brian out there who do a fantastic job that they're not paid to do, trying to help other people in the cycling community getting their beloved bike back. And so if nothing else, I would encourage you to hit the like button for what Brian has done and what Bike Index continues to do, because that is blooming cool. So yeah, salute people like Brian out there in the cycling community that are doing their best to make life better for us. Anyway, please get involved in the comments section. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this outrageous story. And again, hit the like button as well if you support what's been talked about.